How many of you woke up today expecting a miracle? Any of you expect a miracle today? That's good. That's good. Because I think for most of us, we probably woke up and maybe had a little bit of excitement for the adventure ahead. Maybe kind of had a moment of panic thinking about all we have to do in the month of December. Or maybe for some of you, really until you get your first cup of coffee, there's no thinking at all. So again, a variety of reactions. But again, for most of us, we probably weren't popping out of bed saying, Lord, what will the miracle be today? The writer of the Gospel of Luke and then the sequel, the book of Acts, is somebody who lived with a pregnant, overwhelming hope, expectation that daily God would be doing miraculous things. We're only about 50 sentences into the Gospel of Luke, and consider how many miracles have already happened. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, who was considered to be old and barren, is now giving birth, and Zechariah has become mute. And now the angel has appeared to Mary, and as the Bible puts it, she will not only bear a son, but has not known a man. And then the child to be born is to be divine, a holy one, which to the Jewish mind, to the ancient Jewish mind, would have been inconceivable that the God beyond all praising would somehow take human form. And then perhaps the biggest miracle of all is that Mary believes and trusts and opens her heart, even her body, to this miracle. And I think for us who live in the 21st century, us who are moderns, in some way this faith of Mary may in fact be the biggest miracle of all. Because generally, I think we live in an age of skepticism. We live in an age where we're trained and programmed to doubt that kind of thing happened a long time ago or happens today. Now I'm going to condense a whole lot of history here in about four sentences. The 30 Years' War, the Enlightenment, and the Scientific Revolution mean that we who are here today are heirs of a culture that is different than the rest of humans. Every other human tribe, race, creed, religion, wherever you were all over the world, up until about 1700, everywhere you would have gone on Earth, the world would have been an enchanted place. It would have been a place where, of course, there are forces of evil that hinder us and forces of good that work on our behalf. And creation itself would have been sparkling, radiant, dripping with the divine presence. This is just, again, this enchanted world is how all religions, all times, all people would have conceived of life. But again, because of this trifecta in European history of the 30 Years' War, the Enlightenment, and the Scientific Revolution, we stopped doing that. And so for us, we don't believe that thunder is the result of some sort of anger of two warring gods. No, it's simply when there's a bunch of ions that form a capacitor and it releases and it forms a boom. Not as exciting, but that's what it is. And what happens is that, again, we're just programmed and we're to be skeptical about stories in the Bible, that they actually happen that way. And also we sort of have a sort of a lenses of skepticism about the existence of miracles in our everyday life. But you see, 2 to 3 centuries later, there's some holes in that logic. And this sort of faith in reason and this skepticism towards faith, it begins to seem a bit unwarranted as we actually observe what's going on in the world. And again, we realize that sort of reason, however much it makes scientific progress, has some limits, and that perhaps we're not so rational as humans after all. And so I challenge you to be honest with yourselves. In the last 20 months, as you think about how you have reacted to news of restrictions and how you have assessed your own probability of having severe disease, how many of you can say that in the last 20 minutes you have been a totally rational person? I don't think so, right? We all know that fear and pride and the desire to sort of fit in with others, there's all sorts of factors at work on us that really don't make sense in a reasonable way. Again, reason can't explain all of who we are and how we live. And then there's just this sense that things happen every now and then. That after a while, we sort of have this overlay of coincidences, and it's really hard for us after a while to say that the most reasonable way to think about this is simply that we're a sort of a biological robot. No, we have a sense that there's something else there. And so what happens is that we have this head that kind of says, be skeptical, and this heart that wants to believe that there's something else out there. And typically, our head kind of wins because the head wants to protect the heart from getting hurt and believing and getting let down. And so we function a lot like Ahaz, this ancient king. He would never have dared to say there wasn't a God. Never, never would have said that. But in terms of God showing up in a powerful way, in a miraculous way in his everyday life, that was a bit too much, a bit too much. So this is where we are, our head and our heart, sort of a little bit in tension. Except for some reason, and again, I don't think we're that reasonable, except at Christmas time. Right? Christmas is the time of the year when the heart finally wins and we're like, believe, baby, believe. Flying reindeer, elves in the tundra, I'm in. Let's do it. But even more than that, it's not simply sort of about this sort of world for children. It's about this longing that we have that, yes, indeed, that there's somehow, again, something good, something beyond us that's at work. And suddenly our hearts are a bit more open to this. And even the grief that we sort of want to outrun, we give ourselves permission not to try to explain it away, but to wrestle with it. And we want to be surprised by joy that we can't quite and don't even want to explain. And so I want to share with you a little bit of a Christmas story, if you will, that gets at the challenge that we have sometimes, sort of in that fight between the lens of skepticism and the lens that says all things are possible with God. And it's about the menorah in Lancaster. As many of you may know, there was a menorah this year in Lancaster City. And in fact, the Jewish community's been in Lancaster for almost three centuries, and this year they were invited to put up their menorah. Well, the first night that it was up, it was damaged. And given sort of the history of anti-Semitism there from the Jewish community and in the whole, there was this sense that somehow it had been vandalized. And so everybody sort of began, you know, again, social media, things fly so quickly. And then sort of people began to say, you know, we want to support the Jewish community, let them know that they're safe here. And so people and churches were organizing to come out and to be together. Well, midweek, it was discovered that it was an accident, that somebody at 1:30 in the morning, likely having had too much to drink, just stumbled into it, tried to fix it, and couldn't. But by this point, everybody was sort of all geared up and actually had calendars and schedules to come out. And so then here it was, this Friday night, then the last lighting of the menorah, which, by the way, if you read John 8, Jesus actually celebrates Hanukkah. So there they are, this Christian holiday, and then this Jewish holiday and the Christian holiday, the lighting of the tree, and suddenly the whole community is lighting candles. And you think about last year, how divisive and how hard this last year has been on everybody, that suddenly we'd have this scene where everybody was coming together and embracing each other and saying, hey, we can get through this together, and you're welcome in my community. Now, if we want to look at life again through the lens of there's a God who's far off in heaven and we're just biological robots, then we can say, hey, somebody messed up. Some other humans did some good thing. We'll count it as a win this week. But what if we look at it through the lens of nothing will be impossible for God? What if we look at it through the lens of the God of Scripture, the God in Jesus Christ, who again and again in the stories of Scripture takes the mistake of an individual and transforms it into some sort of community and goodness. Right? This is the God we know in Scripture, the God who can bring healing out of brokenness, who can bring forgiveness out of sin, who can bring community out of isolation, who can bring life out of death. Now, I do not know the secret counsels of God. I do not know exactly how God was moving this week in Lancaster or in any of our lives per se. But like Mary and like all the others who have faith, we can put on that lens of faith, and not saying that we have all the answers, not saying that we know all the how and why and when of what God is doing. In fact, to have faith is to acknowledge that there's a mystery about it, but to be open in our minds, in our hearts, and ultimately then in our bodies, in our hands, to say that, yeah, God is doing something. God is the God who is alive. This Advent, we've been reflecting on the names of Jesus. And the name I want to offer you today is that name, Emmanuel. It's an ancient name, again, comes from the prophet Isaiah. And it names God is with us. That's what it means. God is with us. And in Jesus Christ, we have God who was with us, who became one of us, grew up, lived on this earth, walked, ate, shared, and ultimately would suffer and finally die on a cross and then come back, that he would always be with us. This means that we don't have a God far off in the heavens, but we have a God who is here doing strange and wonderful and at times unsettling things in our lives. And so this holiday season, we don't just have to sort of say, yes, Virginia, there is. But rather we can open our hearts and say, yeah, I do hope. And I do expect that there will be a run-in with somebody who will open up a conversation, that there will be reconciliation, that there will be healing, that there might even for a brief moment be peace even on this earth. I can live and dare to hope because God is with us that there will be reconciliation. And so tomorrow when you wake up, again after you stretch, so you can say a prayer. Lord, I know that this is a day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it as I await with open arms and open heart the wonders that you have in store. Amen.